Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We almost never take calls. Doug McBurney says we don't tolerate sponsors, advertisers. We almost never take calls, but our phone number, the same number to call into the show, which we normally don't give it out, but it's also the same number if you'd like to get something from our store, the Bob and Yurt Live store resources, if you'd like to subscribe. So I'll give you that number, 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. I mentioned recently that we have begun a list of endorsements and testimonials on our website, just kgov.com/testimonials. kgov.com/endorsements. One of the folks who gave a really neat endorsement of the program said one of the things he absolutely loves, this is Mitchell D. He said, I just want to say the system that you guys use, the kgov.com/, and then fill in the blank, put whatever word you want there, that option to look up topics, it's brilliant, he says. Thank you, Mitchell. And I'll continue with his comment. That simple feature sets KGov and Real Science Radio apart. It makes finding information on your site about a topic so easy. I often put a link in comments I post online, and that feature makes it so easy to do. Even when I don't use the same word that you mention on the air, it still seems to get to the right place. How in the world does that work anyway, Mitchell asks. Also, similarly, your Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio custom search engines are great time savers and amazing, too. So thank you very much, Mitchell. That's so kind of you. And then we have the most humbling reviews of the plot, My Life's Work, An Overview of the Bible. That it's... it is truly humbling and encouraging, not only to me, but to the whole crew here at Bob and Yurt Live. So we actually have a caller, let's see, from Clinton Township, Michigan. Brandon, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thanks, Bob. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, sir. Thank you for calling in. So you're calling in based on this these testimonials and endorsements I just mentioned? That's what I heard from my call screener here.
That's right. I'd like to, you know, let people know, you know, how much I appreciate the ministry there and how it's helped me in my study of the Bible and how it's helped me to mature as a Christian.
Wow, that's very encouraging, Brandon. So, yeah, tell us, how did you find out about this radio program? I mean, we're in Colorado. You're in Michigan. But of course, we've had some years on nationwide on television. But go ahead.
Yeah, so I was saved back in 2001. I had a godly influence in my life, my grandmother, and I wasn't really brought up a Christian. But you know, there came a point in my life I realized something was missing, and because of my grandmother, I knew what that was—the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow!
So I knew the gospel. I put my faith in it, and I started attending a church where some of my extended family went, and it was a church in a denominational church. It was in the Free Will Baptist denomination.
All right.
And after about 5 years of attending there and still having mush for brains, I figured that if
you sound like a recovering Rush Limbaugh listener too, maybe.
Yeah, you know, but there came a point where I figured if God had given us his word, he would probably want us to understand it.
Mm.
But I didn't know where to start. I mean, I was doing one of those things where you would open up the Bible and wherever the pages fell, you would just start reading from it because any chapter is as good as another one, right?
Yeah, what a good point. Well, let me ask you this, Brandon. I want you to continue with your account, but how old were you in 2001 when you became a Christian? You said you got saved. For people listening who are not Christian, that's our lingo, meaning that we asked God to forgive us and we put our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection. So that's awesome, Brandon, that you did that. For me, that was in 1973, September 1973, after a weekend retreat with a group called Campus Life. I was attending a public high school, and I got saved that weekend at the beginning of my high school years. But so how old were you when you got saved?
I was 18 years old, fresh out of high school, and realized that Christ had died for my sins.
Wow, awesome. So then 5 years in church, and like so many of us, you go to church and you go to Sunday school, you listen, you go to Bible study, you read books on the Bible, but it's confusing.
Yeah, I was Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and didn't know anything about the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't getting anywhere, and I was confused. Here you read the scripture, and I see that they're keeping the law and sacrificing in the Old Testament. James is saying some things about justification by works. Peter is saying you need to be water baptized. Paul says something contrary to works in the law. And it was all just really confusing.
Yeah, and in the book of Acts, you find Peter, James, and John, and the guys they hang out with, they're believing that if a Gentile wants to get saved, he has to, believe in Jesus and be circumcised and keep the law. And there ends up being a big council in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem Council. And when Paul occasionally, very rarely, goes to Jerusalem, he's told by James, he says, you see our brother Paul, how we're all zealous for the law. We're zealous for keeping the law, yet Paul is teaching his converts that we're no longer under the law, and you don't circumcise, and you don't keep the dietary law. So I could see how it could look confusing to somebody, especially coming to it new.
Absolutely. And me, I'm an accountant, so I want to have everything in order. I want to have everything figured out, everything in the right compartment. And, I started asking questions, started beginning to ask pastors I knew the questions that I had. And unfortunately, I learned that these men who had been in the ministry for 50 years or so didn't understand the Bible, because it would be painfully obvious that they were just making up answers, or they didn't really firmly understand what it was they were talking about. And I became a little depressed, thinking that if these men who had been in the ministry for so long don't understand the Bible, how could I ever possibly understand it? And that's where Bob and Yurt Live comes in.
Wow, Brandon, let me interrupt you, and wow, what an account you're telling. When I went to Bible college back in 1977, and I spent a year there, and I did well. I did very well in Greek. I studied Greek, and if I recall, I aced a couple semesters of Greek. And then after I left, I continued to study Greek and came out to Denver, Colorado, specifically to study Greek at Derby School of Theology. It was a small, unaccredited Bible school where they focused on Greek. And I'm so thrilled that I did that. But I left after 1 year because I was discouraged. Here I am at a Bible college, and nobody seems to know much about the Bible. And I traveled across the country with another student to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, where a pastor, Chuck Smith, was teaching. And I was happy because at least there, they were going through the entire Bible. They were teaching verse by verse through the Bible, which we do at Denver Bible Church. And so at least, even if the teachers were confused on a certain number of topics, at the very least, I was getting the scriptures. You know, and the more I ingested the scriptures, I hoped the more I would understand God and his word.
That's right. It's the word of God that works effectually in us which believe. Hmm. And so the intaking of the scripture is what makes the difference in our lives. And Bob Inyart Live came into play for me when I was working an entry-level job doing entry-level accounting job doing some mindless data entry. And one day I thought maybe I could make some good use of this time. Maybe I could redeem the time by learning something about the Bible. And I don't recall what it is that I put into the Google search. But whatever it did, I'm glad I put it in because kgov.com popped up.
Well, now, Brandon, how long ago was that?
That would have been around 2006. I believe.
Okay. So for these years since, and you've probably heard me talk about it, and some people think I'm crazy for how much I talk about it, but I tell people when folks Google so many different topics from science to theology to morality, they end up finding kgov.com oftentimes number one out of sometimes thousands, hundreds of thousands of possible pages. And in fact, an article I had the honor of writing on the life of the mother exception regarding abortion, that is on the very first page of results out of 2 billion. When people Google life of the mother, Google says that there are 2 billion possible web pages that you might want. And the first 10 that you look at on your desktop computer, we're right there. We move, you know, anywhere from number 4 to number 9 or so, back and forth. But so you're an example, Brandon, and what an honor it is that you and I came to know each other, and it's thanks to these Google rankings that we talk about all the time.
That's right. It made a difference for me. If it would have been on page 2 or 3, I probably never would have gotten there. But
right.
It was, you know, one of the first 3 or 4 results that came up on whatever I searched for, and I started listening, and this is only a slightly overdramatic statement, but it was really the first day of the rest of my life. Because I was saved, but I was in darkness as far as understanding of the scripture. And, you know, when I started listening to you, there's a difference between some of the, you know, radio or TV preachers that you hear, or, you know, some of the ministers you meet in life. You never made things up. You were pretty genuine. You had an understanding. You would say things, and I would think, you know, I think that there was another guy that had called in a while back and maybe even made a commercial about it where, you know, you would say something, and I would think, there's no way that's in the Bible. But sure enough,
right.
I'd go home, I would look it up, and there it was.
Yeah.
And then I quickly came to realize that you had a level of understanding of God's word that I wanted to have. I wanted to understand it as well.
Brandon, and I hate to keep interrupting, but for others, you're sharing your story, and our stories, our testimonies, in a way, are intermingling. You know, that's how relationships are built. But when I became a Christian, that September retreat, Campus Life, September 1973... I had then bought a Bible, and it was an easy-to-read Bible. Maybe, I think it was the Living Bible. And it had a chart in the beginning of it where you could check off, keep track of the Bible chapters that you've read. So I thought, I'm going to start on January 1st, and I'm going to read the Bible through in a year. And so this is just months after I got saved. And it was, if I recall, it was the beginning of March or so when I had finished reading through the Bible. So what that did for me over my next years as a new Christian, when I would hear teachers teach, there'd be something in me. It's the recollection of what I had read. I had gotten an overview of God's word quickly. And so I would think, even though I'm a young Christian and this person has, you know, a degree in theology and is a pastor for 30 years, but I'd say, well, what he's saying is not true. It's not consistent with the story of the Bible, with God's account in the Bible. What he's saying, I hear him, I see why he's saying it, but it doesn't fit. And so I had this desire to understand more based on an overview of the Bible. So, Brandon, so then you and I, we sort of find each other through the show, right?
Yeah, and it's like you say in that story, I think you've said in the past, these, and this is true for me as well, the people I was around at the time there were, they would become expert in the details, But they had no understanding of the overview of the Bible.
Yeah.
No understanding of the broad scheme. What is it that God is trying to accomplish? What is the purpose that God has for the heaven and the earth? And they would become experts in, you know, whatever it may be, Calvinism, Arminianism.
We have a page on our website, kgov.com/sayings. It's the Bob Benirt Live sayings over the last 30 years on the air. And some of them are brand new. Others have been around for 30 years. And one of them is this: there's no such thing as an end times expert who isn't also an expert on the entire Bible. You could fill in other topics there. You could fill in, let's say, tithing or speaking in tongues or the Sabbath or whatever, the dietary. Just fill in a topic. Losing your salvation or eternal security. The overview of the Bible is the key to its details. So
that's right. And you could be correct by chance, but you couldn't be an expert in it.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, if there's a topic and there are two or three main views on it, you might hold the correct view and really not even know why and not be able to defend it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's thrilling as you study the Bible. And here's what we've heard from scores of people, hundreds of people over the years. They say, reading the Bible for me was a chore until I understood the overview of the Bible, the storyline, the historical arc of Scripture. Then, as each book took its rightful place, I understood what was going on.
That's right. It came to life. That's right.
Yeah, really, really exciting.
So when I came across Bob Benirt Live, I started listening all the time, right? I realized you had an understanding and I wanted more of it. And, of course, the structure of your radio program is one where it's not just Bible study. It's Christian events from a biblical perspective. So I would pick up on all different tidbits here and there when it comes to the doctrine, but, you know, listening to you also taught me how to think in that it wasn't so much what to think, although there was plenty of that instruction and that was valuable, but it was also a how to think. I listened so much that I would listen to my commute into work. I would listen at work and I would listen at home. I was one of those people who would, you know, go into the archives, download it. And back at that time, it was really popular to put everything on CDs. Right?
Yes, so right, I had right.
CDs of everything, and I'd listen to it in the car on the way to work, on the way home, and while I was there. And listening to you and how you thought through things, whether it be doctrinal issues or whether you were interviewing different people, I really learned from listening to your thought process.
Well, we have had so many debates, Brendan, as you know by now, and the debates are on a broad range of topics. And people think, well, how's it possible, you know, to do well in a debate on economics with one of the world's leaders on that topic, and then turn around and do well in a debate on atheism, and then a debate on theology, and then a debate on abortion? How these are all different disciplines. And it takes a lifetime of studying each discipline individually to where you're proficient at it. But the truth is that if you have a familiarity with the plot of the Bible, the story, the overview of the Bible, then everything you look at in the world will reinforce your basic understanding.
That's right.
And instead of people hitting you like from left field, what in the world? I never considered that. Everything is going to work together to affirm the truth. And the truth,
right.
And Jesus Christ said he is the truth, and everything in the world is centered on Christ, either serving and loving him or in rebellion and running away from him. But everything is centered on him. And so we should be able to give an answer to those who ask on all these different topics.
That's right. And you know, through your show, I think that you did that. And from my standpoint personally, even after I started listening to the show, it was, a struggle trying to put things together for me to understand that overview. And so reading the plot, though, it helped me in putting some of the pieces together, understanding the Acts chapter 15 and what was going on with the difference between Peter and Paul. And, understanding the in Galatians chapter 2, right, that there's a gospel.
Well, hey, Brandon, let me interrupt you. Galatians, a lot of theologians think that Galatians may have been the first book written in the New Testament, and I think they're very well, they may be correct. And Galatians chapter 1, Paul is distancing himself from the 12 apostles. And he's saying over and over in so many ways, he says, I didn't go to them when I became a Christian. I didn't go to the 12. I didn't look to them for authority. In fact, if they saw me, they wouldn't recognize me by face. And he says, I only went to one of them, maybe two, and that was it after years, you know. So Paul is really making a point that Jesus Christ came to him directly and gave to him the dispensation of grace for the Gentiles, something he did not receive from the 12 apostles. And wow, the differences then between Peter and Paul, law and grace, Israel and the body of Christ, the differences are extraordinary and they're eye-opening, and that's when we can understand the whole Bible and we see, wow, these verses look like they contradict, partly because we're not rightly dividing the word of truth, as Paul says, we have to do.
That's right. Part of the scripture there, if you, we were taught that scripture is progressive, and people think that there's everything in the Bible is the same. And so therefore, in progressive revelation, things just build off of one another.
In other words, it's the same message, just with increasing details.
That's right. But I believe that the Bible teaches that through progressive revelation, there was actually a mystery that was committed unto Paul. There's different information that is not consistent with what James was teaching.
Brandon, that's so great, right, that Paul says this was never before revealed. There were prophets who prophesied, but the mystery was hidden and never before revealed, and this is new. And the body of Christ is new. So do you recall, you got the plot, our overview of the Bible. It begins with the plot of the whole Bible in four statements. And it makes four observations that define the overall plot of the Bible. But then it says, when you understand the overall plot, you could begin to comprehend the details at a much deeper level. And I give an example, I give a chart of 10 issues and the positions taken by left-wingers and by right-wingers, or liberals and conservatives. And it's amazing how, whether it's welfare or foreign aid or taxation levels or giving children sex education or pornography or abortion or on and on, guns, you could know, if you know a couple things about somebody's underlying belief system, you can guess with amazing accuracy what their views are going to be on a wide range of topics. And
that's right.
For the liberal and the conservative, go ahead.
That's right. And that list you gave helped me to see that the truth that comes from God's word is not limited to just doctrine, but it transfers over into everything that we see in the world. So that way, a Christian who understands the truth of God's word will have an understanding of, everything in the political spectrum.
Yeah.
Will take those positions.
Yeah. And
because
so
they
then
reject the truth of God's word.
Yeah. So then with theology, right, we make the same exact list with theology, only the topics are doctrinal issues, like, can you lose your salvation or not? Is baptism necessary or not? Should you speak in tongues or not? Does God answer all prayers of the faithful or not? Miracles and healing, are they assured or not? Is the rapture before the tribulation or not? Must believers keep the law or not? And on and on, we give 10 of those. Must we keep the Sabbath or not? How about the Mosaic dietary law? And so the point we make is you could read 10 books that argue that you have to be baptized to be saved. And then you could read 10 more that say you don't have to be baptized to be saved. And at the end of that, let's say 100 people, and they all did this exercise and they all read these 20 books, and then half of them believe you have to be baptized and the other half believed you didn't have to be baptized. Yeah. And you do that for all 10 issues, and there's really no confidence that the individual believer is going to do a great job coming down on the right side of all these doctrinal disputes if we don't understand the underlying issues, the foundational beliefs that lead people to one conclusion or another.
That's right, because the people who hold those positions on the other side, they have those beliefs because they're looking at verses in the scripture, and they play the, when they try to debate and go back and forth on their sides, they play ping pong with scripture. But a correct understanding of scripture will let every verse say what it says and mean what it says.
Well, yeah, because both sides will have their proof text, right? Both sides will say, well, look at all these verses. These all prove my position. But then they also have their problem text. And for the other side of whatever the issue is, let's say it's a view on the end times. Now, the other side will have their proof text, and the proof text of their opponents are their problem texts. And so, like you said, ping pong, or we just throw proof text at each other, and it's far better to be able to look at the scriptures and see that the problem texts all become proof texts. And I think it'd be better if we don't get into too many details, Brandon, but in the plot, I offer a litmus test. I say that there's one verse that can turn 1,000 problem texts into proof texts, so that both sides of this chart, all the verses become proof texts for a deeper understanding, an overview of the whole Bible. And then the proof is in the pudding, right? Either that verse is going to, it's either going to come through or it's not.
That's right. And that statement was very powerful. That's a pretty bold statement to make at the beginning of your book, that you could take one verse and somehow unravel all of the tension that you list in those 10 doctrinal statements.
Yeah. And Brandon, we have stayed on the air now for almost 30 years because of people purchasing the plot and the plot audio series. So we have it in seminar form, and we have it in a paperback book. And the folks who've purchased that, and we've said 30-day money-back guarantee always. If you can't afford something, then whatever you can afford. But that's kept us on the air, and we have heard from hundreds of people, including pastors and lifelong, you know, Sunday school teachers, who say that verse, it came through. It answered those problem texts. Brandon, we're out of time, but what a joy to talk to you.
Thank you, Bob. God bless.
Well, you're very welcome. That's Brandon from Clinton Township, Michigan. What an honor. This is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.
Bob, I just wanted to say that the thing I'm most thankful for is that because of your ministry and the faithfulness of the people in the ministry there, that today, where it's led me through today, I understand the gospel clearly. And I'm able to teach my 4 children the clarity of the gospel and sound doctrine. And
wow.
So I just want to say thank you for that.
Well, you're very welcome, Brandon. How humbling. God bless you.
Thanks, Bob.